The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, hey, guys, you are tuned in to John Stadmiller's National Intel Report. I'm your guest host for today, V, from the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And I've got Roger Landry here with me as well from the Liberty Beacon Project. I used to say the TLB click, the TLB crew, but you know, officially, the Liberty Beacon Media Project. And boy, oh boy, I can tell you, things have been rough. Things have been, I know I've done my whole Black History Month thing, and once again, I really want to thank those participants who called in and set their piece and add in much valued perspectives. And, you know, we've tried to take a couple days off on my show where we just had a little fun. And apparently you guys really enjoyed that as well. But for today, you know, I don't know. A lot of anxiety, I suppose. I know, going through a lot of stuff, seems like I'm almost beaten up every day. But I guess somebody's life, whom we couldn't trade in for the world, I guess that would be Roger Landry. Roger?
I would just about pay anybody to take a week of my life and then come away and say, and not say, you're insane, Landry. You really are. How the hell do you do that? And it's not a matter of that things are bad for me. They're not. Okay? So don't anybody take away from what I just said that my life is bad. My life is hectic beyond belief, and part of this is some of the things that V suffers as well. I'm up. I'm awake at 4:30 in the morning. My feet hit the floor by 5 a.m. in the morning, and I work until at least 10:30 in the evening, and then unwind till about 11 and go to bed. So you do the math, okay? We're talking anywhere between 5 and 6 hours at the most sleep a night, and I haven't had a day off in almost 15 years. I constantly work this media. I constantly work this project. I constantly get as much information out as I possibly can. But nobody has my feet nailed to the floor. This isn't something I have to do or die. This is something I have chosen to do. But V, you tell me, does that make your life any less hectic because it's something you've chosen to do?
Absolutely not. Actually, Mike and I were discussing last night this very topic. It's kind of strange that we're diving back into it, because he was like, you guys should appreciate V. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day. And I had to explain to people, you know, during the summertime, I might have to scale the show back to an hour again instead of 2 hours, because, yeah, it's Poland here. It gets nice and cold, but the summer times are just as brutal as anywhere else. And I don't have a place to cut out in the wall to put an air conditioning machine. And, you know, every year I lose a laptop for overheating. So it's like, you know, I constantly eat the cost of doing everything that I do.
I wouldn't know anything about that, right?
Sometimes I lose one or two computers per year for other reasons.
I'm talking about when it comes to cost. I mean, look, you and I both know, and others who helped me to run this project know, the cost that comes out of my pocket every single month to keep the Liberty Beacon Project alive and viable. So when you talk about the cost, I mean, it's something that I'm very familiar with. But you started this off with by using the word anxiety. I have an entire mindset about anxiety today, as compared to what us baby boomers saw in the late 1950s and the early 1960s. And that's part of what I would like to present today, if that's okay with you.
Intriguing.
Does that mean yes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let's stop and think, okay? Let's stop and think about news, all right? Let's stop and think about news when I was young. Dan Rather came on, you had a half hour of, national news, you had a half hour of local news, and that's what you got. And that's what you drew your perceptions of what was going on locally and what was going on in the world from. And if you were an avid radio listener, which a lot of us were back then, you know, sometimes on the hour they'd have 5 minutes of news, and then maybe on Sundays or whatever they might have a one-hour news show, so on and so forth. But today it is a 24/7 scenario. But let's start at the beginning, okay? Let's talk about anxiety as a tool to divide and conquer. And no, I'm not joking, okay? We talk about the elites using a lot of things today behind the scenes that most people don't understand the effect it has on them until it's already helped to facilitate or to choreograph a disaster. I'm telling you that anxiety is an intentional tool being used against society to divide and conquer. And what am I talking about? Okay. Look around you and see the stress and strain and anxiety of so many faces of people who walk by you. Okay. You see somebody walking by, somebody you're fairly familiar with, maybe not a friend or somebody you talk to, but you see that face going by you on a regular basis. And when that person walks by, you notice now that that person always looks anxious or has a look of anxiety. And you figure maybe they just had a bad day, except when you see them walk by tomorrow, they have the same look. When you see them walk by next week, they have the same look, but that's not the way you remember them. That's not the way they were 2 years ago. That's not the way they were 5 years ago. But now this is a continuous scenario, okay?
Okay, Roger. I must interject here. See, you talk about this programmed. It's one thing to go from programmed ignorance. Now you're talking about programmed anxiety. This is one of the points that I kept bringing up when during the Black History Month thing, talking about, you know, social interactions between people, especially between the cops and, you know, the citizens, especially Black citizens, there's this programmed aggression and anxiety on both ends now.
And that was part of my discussion, part of what I was going to put forward. So do I disagree with you? Not even in the least.
Yeah, so you're on top of it, yeah.
Okay, let me continue, and please jump in anytime you want. First off, it's your show, and second off, you usually have something intelligent to say. I didn't say always, I said usually, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, for anybody who doesn't know, V and I are very good friends, so the chiding and the ribbing you hear occasionally is something that passes as friendship between us, all right? It's not... I don't know. It's not me trying to make him look bad or him trying to make me look stupid, at least not all the time. All right. So let's talk about this strain, the stress, the anxiety on the faces of the people you walk by. If it's in a grocery store, why? Well, today it's in a grocery. If you're in a grocery store, it's because of food prices and food availability. You see decreasing availability of food. Why? Because we've had 100 food processing plants, egg processing plants, flocks of, or whatever you call them, farms of 1.5 million chickens, farms of 750 to 800,000 turkeys, farms with 50,000 head of beef. 100 of them have been destroyed in the last 2 years. That's more than every single one combined over the last 30 years. But since Joe Bob took office, we've had 100 destructions. Like, the actual number is 98. So I say about 100. The actual number is 98. That is more than every single disaster scenario such as this in the last 30 years combined. So do you see anxiety on people's faces when they realize that the eggs that they bought for $1.29 2 years ago are costing them $6.95 today? Of course they. And the fact that, hey, there are some things you don't even see them restocking in the grocery stores anymore. Last time I heard about that, it was when the Soviet Union fell or was about to fall, and people would line up in the hundreds outside of a grocery store when a truck pulled up and started to unload in the back. You would see these people literally fighting amongst themselves and punching each other in the face to see who gets in the store first to grab what little got delivered to that store and take it home so they can feed their family. This was anxiety, and it was readily apparent. Are we starting to see it on American faces? I started with the food and the grocery store. How about at the gas pump? How about at the gas pump when you are pulling that trigger and pumping gas into your vehicle, and what's going through your head? How much of this can I actually afford? How many places do I actually have to drive? Can I walk there? Can I do without going to this place? Can I do without taking my wife out or my husband out on a date this week? Can I do without? And the anxiety heightens. You're pulling that gas trigger and you're wondering, what is this going to cost me and what can I do without? We never lived through that before. We are now. How about when you walk into the doctor's office with your 3, 4, or 5-year-old kid and you're a mother and you sit down and the doctor walks up to you and says, and what can I do for you today, Mrs. Smith? And Mrs. Smith says, well, I've been told, you see, that my child cannot attend preschool, kindergarten, whatever it may be, until my child is caught up with COVID-19 vaccines. Now, at the same time, Mrs. Smith is thinking to herself, I have done massive research on this, and I know this is the deadliest pharmaceutical agent ever used on humanity in the history of humanity, and that the amount of children that will suffer for life, die of myocarditis or whatever, is so far beyond normal, it's insane. But in order to put my child in school, I must do this. What does the doctor do? The doctor looks at you, because he's a doctor and he has to make a living. He walks over, and this is a what-if scenario. It's not an exact scenario, so don't take it as such. Walks over to his or her desk, opens up the drawer, pulls out a 6-shot revolver, opens the chamber up, make sure there's one bullet in there, closes the chamber, spins it, walks back over to you, hands you that gun, and says, point this at your child's head and pull the trigger. That's an absolute fact. Gee, do you think there may be a little, I don't know, look of anxiety on that mother's face because she is fully aware, but yet she and that child cannot live what is considered to be a normal life unless they take the most deadly pharmaceutical product ever used in the history of humanity, on all of humanity, with well over 6 billion of 8.5 billion of us already fully vaccinated. Okay.
Well, you know what? I'm most definitely not going to be having my children vaccinated, but I'm still going to have the anxiety of homeschooling.
Oh, well, I understand that. Believe me, I do.
But, okay? But hold on. Before you continue on, two items here. So people keep telling me that Walmart is no longer 24 hours. Closes at 10 p.m. now.
Okay.
Okay, just from the point of reference here, why this is amazing to me, I lived in a tiny, tiny, tiny little town of 16,000 people in California called Norville. And as far as there not being anything there, anything to do besides gamble at the casino, Walmart was basically the adult playground.
Yeah.
Wally World. Doesn't matter what time it is.
Doesn't Roger have a Wally World day every week?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I can't imagine what these people are doing late at night now. I mean, I used to just count the meth heads that were walking out of the store. On nights that I was bored.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, yes. Yeah. Okay. I agree. What was the other point?
Oh, wow. I just can't imagine what these people are doing now. And when we talk about the anxiety and the divide, this absolutely just infuriated me. I saw something on a post and, basically, it was saying that in some lower-income black neighborhoods around the country are going to have subsidized fuel, gasoline, mm-hmm. bringing it down to $2.99. Mm-hmm. And you can just see the whole, you know, the whole peanut gallery come out of white supremacists. And same things that they're saying. And it's like, are they going to just rally up and go kill these people because they have cheaper gas? I mean, this is like the Middle East now.
Actually, I don't believe it's anywhere near that bad, but I do believe that people are being told it's that bad. And to show you the difference in age between myself and V, when somebody told me I saw something on a post, in my mind, that was a wooden post sticking out of the ground with a sign on it. I saw something on a post. Yeah. So until you qualified it, and now I understand that it was a social media post, and that was supposed to be on the comical side, but it's absolutely true. When I grew up, if you saw something on a post, it was a sign you were supposed to read to tell you something on a property or going down the road as to a condition that may exist further on down the road. That was a sign on a post or, you know, something written on a post. Today, it has a totally different meaning. But I will get into that as we go further, and I talk about that portion of anxiety, okay?
All right.
Okay. So I would also say, now that we've gone through the gas, now that we've gone through the doctor's office, now that we've gone through the grocery store, each and every one of those so far increases the anxiety in your life. They all do. Absolute fact, okay? And anybody who doesn't believe this isn't choreographed, you need to tell me how this many disasters can happen in 2 years at a higher rate than they've ever happened in decades in the history of this country or the world. The only way that can happen is if it is intended to happen. But let's go on. I've got a few more points. What about people talking in a group? Okay. If I go in, and I'm talking about face-to-face discussions, okay? You run into some friends, you're downtown, there's about a half a dozen people there, some of them have brought their friends with them for a walk, you've got your friends with you, so now you've got a mixed group of people, okay? And am I, what I'm about to say, is it going to make me look like an idiot because some liberal is listening to what I have to say? Or is a liberal thinking, is this going to make me look like an idiot because some conservative is listening to what I'm saying? And will I get verbally slammed for what I am about to say? Because this was never, ever a consideration if we're talking 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. And the last part of that is, during this conversation and not knowing everybody else in this group, will I either use the wrong pronoun or fail to use a pronoun where one is now supposed to be used? And how many pronouns are there? Last I heard, it was over 100. So now you have the anxiety of talking in a group of people, most of whom you're not familiar with. So what do most people do? They avoid it. And again, that's the intention. Okay, let's talk about, and here we go, B. Let's talk about something that is happening again that hasn't happened for a while. First off, let me explain something to you, okay? I am not telling you that Trump is the best thing that ever happened to America. I'm not telling you Trump is perfect. I'm not telling you that Trump walks on water. What I will tell you is that in the 4 years Trump was in office, the United States was respected more so globally than they had been in a long time. In the 4 years that Trump was in office, the United States had the best economy and it was building that they had had in a very long time. I'm telling you that while Trump was in office, the cost of living in this country went down while real world wages went up. I'm telling you that while Trump was in office, blacks, Hispanics, Asiatics, and Americans got along better than they had in the entire time I had been alive. They had more opportunities, better education, better jobs, the whole nine yards. And in the 2 years Joe Bob has been in office, that's gone to hell in a handbasket. And why do I say that? This is my point for that, for anxiety. Life in America has reached a point, okay, where if I'm walking down the street and the sun is going down and I am a white slash black person in a black slash white neighborhood, am I in danger? Am I in trouble? That has peaked in the last 2 years to a level I haven't seen it in a very long time. Our children are being taught critical race theory. What is critical race theory? It is where you teach all of the blacks that everybody white is evil. And it's where you teach everybody that's white, you literally segregate them in classes. Teaching everybody that's white, these are 5 and 6 and 7 year old kids, and you're teaching them they're evil white supremacists and they need to get on their knees and beg for forgiveness. This is what our children are being taught. Yet if a parent
Hold on here.
I've actually been to some of these meetings.
For me, because I asked the question, what is the point of teaching? Well, okay, well, let me back up. You know, it was kind of strange for me as a smaller child going to church, for example, and hearing the preacher say, you know, the world is evil. You know, the world is evil. The world is evil. You hear that a lot of times. And it's like, yeah, okay. I understand that there are bank robbers, you know, there are...
Well, hold on. You may have something wrong. You may have something wrong here. I'm not saying that when you were young and I was younger, there wasn't racism in this country. There was.
Hold on. Let me get through it. So, I mean, I understood there were bad people. There were thieves. There were robbers. There were killers out there. You didn't need to explain those concepts to me. But it wasn't until I got out in the real world that, you know, I realized I had to use a slave number. I had to use my slave name. I had to have all my property registered to the government. I had to have, you know, I going all through these things, it's like, oh, that's what they meant by the world is evil. So
that doesn't matter what color you are. Think, we all have the same numbers.
We all have, that's what I'm saying. So when you hear about teaching, you know, black people that, you know, white people are evil, what is that supposed to do exactly? It's to get us to accept that our overlords are evil and we should do nothing about it? Or
what?
How
did I start this segment of the show? Anxiety, a tool to divide and conquer. You hit the nail right on the head. I told you guys he comes up with brilliant stuff every once in a while. Bingo. You hit the nail right on the head. You're exactly right. You have to divide and conquer, because if we're all on the same team, there's too many of us. But if we're fighting each other, they can get away with anything they want behind our backs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so let me go on to the next point, because believe me, I'm not done. I've got at least two more points I'd like to make, and then we can go into some deeper stuff. But let me make these two other points here, okay?
Okay.
Life in America has gone from about the best we have seen in generations, regardless of economics, politics, or race, in three short years, to the worst I have ever seen in two generations plus. When I was young, okay, I stood out, and my entire class, my entire school stood out, because I lived in Northern Ohio, and we had black children, and we had Hispanic children, and we had Asiatic children in our classes, and we thought nothing of it. If I walked out of my front door and walked two city blocks to the left, I was in a black community, and some of my best friends were there. But if I got in a car, which I did with my dad at 9 years old, and drove down to Meridian, Mississippi, it was nothing like that. So what we had seen all the way up to, okay, and through the Trump years, was this had gotten better and better. And we saw the biggest improvement, and again, this is not Trump as an angel. He isn't. Believe me, he isn't. But what we saw was the biggest mending and the least racial, I don't know, differences I had ever seen in this country. And our leaders and our so-called elitists who sit behind them in the background and pull their strings said, we can't have this. They're not divided. They are beginning. They become unified. We must do something about this. Bam! Here comes critical race theory and other things. And now we are seeing the division spiking again intentionally. If you wish to take over a culture or a society, you must divide and conquer. What's the best way to do it? Build the anxiety on either side till you reach a spark point where they start to kill each other, or you end up with a revolution. Anybody who doesn't think that everything that's going on in America, the borders being open, the schools where they're teaching, literally, teaching our 5 and 6 year old kids, this is being taught in school to our 5 and 6 year olds, what a butt plug is and how to use it. Okay? If you are, and I could go on and on and on, the anxiety that's building in the American person today is beyond anything you can imagine.
Okay. You know what? We're going to go commercial break right back.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
We are back. Of course, we still have Roger Landry here with us. And I would say, I don't know if you got through both points yet, but I've got some icing to throw on your cake whenever it's done being baked here. But go ahead.
I would like to get your icing because I have about a half a dozen points that take the first points and take them to the level people need to understand them at. So if you want to throw a little icing on, just make sure I've got about 15 minutes to get these other points out. And it's your show, my friend. A little icing would be great.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. You want me to take care of these other points first?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's talk about where this anxiety is coming from. And when I say that this is all controlled, it's choreographed, what am I talking about? Let's talk about government power and control. Okay? Imagine, I'm going to tell you a parable. Listen to this. Imagine for a moment that the federal government was only responsible for one thing. taking care of a single tree in the middle of rural Utah. And the budget was $100 a year. And there's only one person in charge of making sure that that tree is cared for. It's a voluntary, unpaid position, so only truly passionate arborists would even apply for the position, okay? This is a fanciful scenario. Do you think the United States would care what happens next election? It's one tree in the middle of Utah. Of course they wouldn't. Do you think that anyone would worry or stress about who would be in power in the federal government? No, because they're only in power over one tree in the middle of rural Utah. Obviously, the answer is no. The only real reason we have anxiety spiking at unheard levels and suicide rising at a rate we've never seen globally. Do some research, people. The rates of suicide in our elderly and our young and even our children are off the chart in the last 2.5 years. Okay, the only reason we see the stress at this level is because the government is ridiculously and uncomfortably powerful. They have taken on emergency powers far beyond what the Constitution states, and they have done it on a faux pandemic, utilizing the most dangerous, and most people know this today, how dangerous these vaccines are. This is common knowledge, but yet it was forced upon us all across the country and the planet. So the anxiety that builds now when the government says anything, people immediately get anxious. My neighbor next door was 63 years old. He died after his third COVID shot. I know this 13-year-old kid that was playing football, fully vaccinated, and had got myocarditis and died of a heart attack while playing a football game. These people understand this. They understand the government literally took on more power than they were ever supposed to have, and they used it in a fashion that has destroyed more lives or ruined more lives, over 2 billion damaged people from COVID vaccines globally, and that number rises daily. Let's go to the second point. That's the first point, a government taking power that's out of control. How about our 24-hour-a-day news cycle, which I alluded to before? Okay, news is so prevalent today. I wake up in the morning, and the first thing most people do today, most people in their 30s or younger, is they look at their social media. There may be, I don't know, 50, 60, maybe people like me, over 100 messages waiting for them. How many of them are good? If you are tracking news in any way, shape, or form, you've got a whole lot of bad stuff waiting for you, okay? Not only that, but go to Facebook and check in. How many people are on Instagram? How many people are on Twitter? What you find there is a massive amount of people trying to make you aware of all the bad things that have happened in the last 100 years every single day. The anxiety we develop just from media alone, our exposure to media. I told you when I was a kid it was 1 hour a day. Today it's 24/7. The anxiety level builds in very, very tiny, minuscule amounts, but if it constantly builds in a very short period of time, that person walking by me, as I said at the beginning of this whole segment, every single day, I notice the same look of anxiety, whether it's today, tomorrow, or 2 weeks from now. Okay? If you stop to consider that, it's insane. Let's talk about population segmentation. Our population has become more divided. People are spending more time online and on social media where they can selectively unfollow or block people who don't politically agree with them or they don't particularly like. Average people trap themselves into echo chambers, convincing themselves that anyone who disagrees with them is a moron. And anyone who agrees with them is righteously moral. Accordingly, when someone who disagrees with them gets into power, the motivation is strong enough to maybe even start riots or something even worse. But this is what we live under 24/7. How many of you people on social media, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, do not have anybody in your group of friends, even if you've got, like on my wall, 9,000 people on my personal Facebook wall, even if you've got 9,000 people, how many of them are not your friends? How many of them don't agree with you? How many of them would say something that may piss you off? The answer is either none or damn close to it. We have learned via the pressure and the anxiety to segregate ourselves. This has nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do with color. It has everything to do with us being taught that you either think the way I do or you are not worth my attention or my focus. How about negative bias? Human beings are negative creatures. We are naturally presupposed to focus on more negative pieces of information than positive ones. Everybody out there saying, well, that's not who I am. Listen to me. If somebody walks up to you and says, hey, you're going to die. Or if somebody walks up on the other side of you and says, you know, you could live to be 100 years old. Which one are you going to pay attention to? 99 out of 100 of us are going to want to know what the hell that guy was talking about when he said, you're going to die. Why? It's negative. We don't want negative things affecting our lives. We want to know about the negativity. What caused it? Why is it there? How's it going to affect me? And then when it's all done and we may be satisfied with that, if we ever get satisfied with that, we'll look at the guy that says, you could live to be 100 years old. This is society today. We live in a society where the border, our children's education, the cost of living, food scarcity, the Ukraine, Joe Bob in the White House, and I could go on and on. There are more scenarios today forcing the level of anxiety on the average American, and this goes globally, but we're talking about America right now, and it is global, more anxiety being stuffed down our throat every single day. And what is the result of this? The result of this is we fight amongst ourselves. The result of this is we isolate from those we don't care for. The result of this is do your homework. The rising level of people committing suicide beyond anything this globe has ever seen in the last 2 years. This is not a mistake. This is choreographed. The two things the elites absolutely need to control humanity, global governance, is to bring, the governments of every nation to its knees to be supplanted by global governance. And number two, to bring the global population from 8.5 billion, which even they know they can't control, down to either a couple billion or less. The Georgia Guidestones were destroyed not too long ago for a very good reason. What did it say? Keep the population of humanity under 500 million in tune with nature. The elites always telegraph what they're going to do prior to doing it. And how long did those Guidestones sit there and who put them up? We are looking today at the rising level of anxiety in humanity that this planet has never seen before. Why? Let's go all the way back to my original title, Anxiety, a Tool to Divide and Conquer. Anybody who cannot see the rising massive levels of anxiety around them today is blind, deaf, and dumb. And if you don't think it hasn't peaked in the last 2 years, I'm not telling you it didn't exist before that. I'm telling you the levels in the last 2 years are off the chart. The levels of suicide are off the chart. We are, in fact, being conquered. Absolute fact. And I will take a breath, my friend, and thank you for allowing me to get that out, Bree.
Well, you know,
I told you before you invited me on. I warned you.
Well, I just, for me, when I was first targeted, like with the covert stuff, I had to, you know, there's the rationalization of going through the, you know, what's the cause of this? What? And then you start looking at things that are around you, obsessively. But then I had to just say, it's not anything around me. This is so high level, it can't be a source for something that's directly around me. So I went outside, and I stood on my porch, and I thought to myself, what is different today that I didn't have to deal with 25 years ago? And I'm in California, mind you.
Okay.
I just look up to the sky. Oh, that's what it is. As I'm looking at the crisscross patterned chemtrails. And it's like the answer is always in your face, but it's so in your face that you can't see it.
Okay. Can I say just a little tiny thing about that chemtrail issue, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What most people will never tie these together, but I will do it for you. And I think I did this on your show about 3 years ago. What I told people was one of the biggest components in chemtrails are nano-sized particles of aluminum. Anything that is, and that you're told is being put in the air, upper atmosphere, to block sunlight, to reflect sunlight, to cool the planet. But anything that is up there in a gravity well will eventually settle. Human beings breathe that air. Dementia, Alzheimer's, a lot of that is being caused by, and when scientists and doctors have done brain sections on people who have died from Alzheimer's, what they find is that the brain is literally saturated with aluminum. Aluminum slaughters brain cells. You lose the ability to think, you lose your memory, so on and so forth. If you stop to consider what I just said, I'm going to take it to the next level. 5G is being spread, and even when we were locked down, the military was being paid to put 5G up in all of the heavy areas of population. What I just told you was that your brains, all of our brains, unless you chelate this constantly, are saturated with aluminum because we're all being geoengineered constantly. 5G has the ability, because they use a lot of different, they have to use a lot more antennas because it's a much higher frequency. It's up in the gigahertz, okay? So 5G, with all of these antennas, and this is what Roger did for a living, he knows exactly what he's talking about, you can now form a phased array or a steerable beam of microwave energy. You've got a brain that's full of breathed in nano-sized particles of aluminum that eventually end up in your brain. How does it end up in your brain? Well, the water you're drinking contains what? Yeah, and that actually opens the door and allows the aluminum into your brain. Now you have 5G. Now you have a steerable beam. When's the last time anybody ever put an aluminum or a metal fork or a knife in a microwave and turned it on? What you have now is the ability to broadcast 5G in a heavily populated area, and look at the cancer statistics. Look at the young kids dying off. Look at the massive increases in dementia. Look at the massive increases in Alzheimer's. If you stop to consider the 5G combination with the aluminum being sprayed into the air, and nobody stops to think about it. Roger worked for the military industrial complex for almost 30 years. I think about it.
Well, I'm going to take it a step further. That's
good.
All the technology that you're talking about, this is how they've come up with remote neuromonitoring and synthetic telepathy. You know, the whole temple hack conspiracy thing. Yeah, it went over from microwaves over to other frequencies that are already flooding our environment, so we can't pick anything out from anything else.
6G's coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, so it's one of those things. And so I was going to say, so since I noticed that was different about my world and how they were able to actually beam my head to the point to where I, you know, bleeding out of my ears and yes, out of my nose, hearing voices, you know, that's what was different. So scale it back to something you said earlier, you know, you'd watch the news for an hour and then that was it. It's not even that it's, I mean, we could have that 24/7 and it wouldn't be as bad, but we no longer have news anchors. We have political commentators.
Liars.
We're political commentators. You're supposed to go to other shows,
right,
for political commentary. You're supposed to go to the news for the news.
Yep.
Not people to sit there and push their own personal agenda that, well, they're hired, yeah, I mean, to.
Stop and think what you just said. I'm telling you that they are today, mainstream media lies so much. Liars. It's insane. They beat us down and told us we had to take a vaccine because it was the safest thing. It would save all of us on the planet, and we had to take multiple vaccinations. What we now know is that it can't keep you from getting it. It can't keep you from giving it. And after you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer have an immune system, and you're probably going to die a whole lot younger than you would have. This is, but yet, the news every single night beat down on anybody who wouldn't take the vaccine as being the most evil people on the planet. You should avoid them. You shouldn't talk to them. Hey, maybe you should take them into a back alley and kick the crap out of them. This is what the mainstream media news has turned into. It has turned into a tool for the elites to increase the anxiety and divide and conquer.
Well, the dividing and conquering is absolutely happening.
Yep.
Especially with those who are already predisposed to being separationist anyways. I mean, you've got the feminists, you got the racists, you got all these people who are just separatists already. And then you it's like putting spark plugs, or no, I'm sorry, jumper cables on your nipples. I mean, they're already amped up, but now you're going to juice them even more?
Ow! Oh, man, couldn't you have used a different example? That hurts!
Well, what can I say? We're Riggs and Murtaugh over here.
Okay. I so enjoy doing shows with you. It's never boring me, ever.
Well, it's just definitely, you know, I don't shove my pronouns down your face, down your throat, but I have a feeling.
I got a few myself, you know. Yeah. I'm an elderly gentleman. I'm 68 years old. I got a stack of pronouns. Give me a break.
I have a feeling that some loophole somewhere is going to bubble up, and it's going to get some people out of a lot of trouble and then get some other people into a lot of trouble with this whole pronoun thing.
Oh, God. Every time I hear that word, did you use the right pronouns or did you forget the pronouns? I literally just want to cringe. It's like, oh, God, did you say that?
Well, it's funny because if anybody knows anything about English or grammar, things like that, everybody already has their own unique individual pronoun.
Yes.
It's called your name.
Yes, not only that, but we have our own pronouns, as in, you know, this guy may be sleazy, this guy may be intelligent, this guy may be fun, this guy may be, and again, these are descriptive pronouns. These are who you are and what you are. It's when you take that to a point where if you don't remember it or don't use it properly, it causes anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to be a bit of an a-hole when I get back to the States. You know, I'm seeing one of these blue-haired Fox people. I'm like, so what the hell are you supposed to be?
What, you don't know my pronoun? Damn you!
I'm going to walk around with a bag of candy. Oh, aren't you so cute? Trick or treat. Where's my candy? Yeah. I know you probably don't have much of that over there in your little town of Arkansas, but I know when I hit Austin, it's going to get creepy.
Are you going to take one call before the end of the show? Because I have to leave at the end of this first hour. You've got one caller.
Oh.
You want to bring him in?
Chat. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Hello.
It's you.
Hello. You got a question or comment for us?
Yes, I would like to comment on the aluminum. I'm from northern Michigan. I love both of you gentlemen for hosts, but there's a doctor here in northern Michigan, Dr. Richard Olry, and he's had a book written about him from a gentleman in Austin, and it's Minerals for the Genetic Code, and he breaks down all the elements. It's a beautiful book. You can find it on, you know, used on the Internet, but Dr. Olry has in there stated that that Parkinson's and Alzheimer's is an aluminum toxicity, and he said boron.
Yes.
Boron is what's lacking in the diet, and that is what'll help chelate it or protect you from it. Also, the fluoride in the water is toxic to the thyroid, which opens 73 pathways for toxicity. So
the fluoride is what allows the aluminum into the brain. It opens the blood-to-brain barrier.
Yep. Well,
and the borion is it's a type of salt, so it's an electrolyte. It acts as an electrolyte to pass information quicker from cell to cell.
Well, that's the chemistry of it for those that haven't taken chemistry. But he also stated that the aluminum that they're putting in the aerosols spray is deleting the selenium. He said selenium is very critical to cancer curing. He's a great doctor. He's Dr. Richard Olry. Look up his Minerals for the Genetic Code. It's a beautiful book. He talks about fluoride and the fluoride in the forward as to how it all got implemented into our system. The military wanted to use it on the military itself. I'll hold over, if I may, for just a minute.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Hold over, because I'd definitely like to talk to you some more. Roger, thank you for coming on. It's always
fun. That was a brilliant caller.
Yes.
That was a brilliant call. That was the perfect first call. And I'm so glad I poked you, and thank you for inviting me on. I'll talk to you again
soon. Caller. Yes, Roger, you have to do it again soon. Absolutely.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take America back. We must take America back.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is What's for Dinner.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.